And good afternoon. Welcome into Market Talk for Tuesday, January 26th. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Great to have you here with us. MarketTalkAg.com. That is where you can find us, our home on the web, MarketTalkAg.com. All your favorite podcast streaming sources, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and so many more. You can also find us via our great radio partners as well, all across the country from the Dakotas down to Texas. We appreciate so many folks being aboard. You can find details about your favorite radio station being a partner with Market Talk online at markettalkag.com. Well, the rally continued after Monday's gains. We saw more gains today in the grain sector. Let's talk about all of it. Let's bring in our guest today. He is with agmarket.net. Matt Bennett joins us. Matt, good to have you back on the show and appreciate you being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, bud.
Matt, Friday last week, I think a lot of folks got a little spooked. They were thinking that this market rally was over. A lot of the funds got out of the market. And now, yesterday and today, funds decided, we're going to get back into this grain sector. And it's, I'd say, a welcome surprise that we basically built back in what we lost last week.
Yeah, I'd say that's definitely a welcome surprise. So, a customer who, multiple customers called me on Friday and fall in panic mode, of course, because we didn't expect to see a 58 cent down day, and beans are $1.05 loss on the week. We didn't really expect to see corn market take the hit it took on Friday. We were down the limit for a little bit, and then we bounced off that going into the close. But those that called me asked, what happened today? What news got released? What changed? Nothing changed, really nothing changed. It's just a matter of we hit some sell stops. I mean, we had extremely good exports, and then the market didn't react favorably. And so anytime you see the market not react favorably to really positive news, it makes you start to wonder, hey, what's going on here? And that's exactly what happened. We went a little bit lower, hit a few sell stops, and then the bloodsuckers were out. They were looking for every sell stop they could find, and the market flowered out of control. So you come in here on Sunday, and everyone thought this market was going to continue and see, some continuation of that. And the market continued to sell off. That's not what we got, though. The market was off a little bit. We didn't trade nearly as poorly as what most people thought. Then you come in here on Monday, and the bean market was off to the races from the get-go on the day session. And so people asked me after yesterday and today, these huge run-ups in prices, hey, what's changed? And up until this morning, whenever we had this huge export sales announcement on corn, not much had changed. But quite frankly, without 1.36 million tons sold to China for this marketing year and another 100,000 tons sold to unknown, without that, we wouldn't have closed up 23 quarters today, no doubt about it. But there was still some underlying support. And I think it's because people are still looking at this thing saying not much has changed. We still have a very tight carryout for both corn and beans.
And I want to talk a little bit more about that big corn export sale to China. And I think that was really a welcome surprise here today. And, we hear about China rebuilding their hog herd and trying to buy more corn to feed those hogs. And looking at corn, I think more so than beans, we're still off the contract highs in beans from where we were a few weeks back. But corn looking really strong, I think, here on this renewed rally yesterday and today. And I had a couple producers that said, hey, I knew some guys who sold a bunch on Friday, and they're like, I'm still holding on to 50,000 bushels of old crop bean or old crop corn, I should say. So I think there's still a lot of guys out there, although we've sold a lot, there's a lot of guys that are holding on to corn, and they're probably looking at yesterday and today and got a smile on their face that this market came back a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think whenever you're looking at someone who's got a bunch of old corn on hand, I keep getting the question, what do I need to do with that? I guess my opinion is this: if we're not selling a little bit of $5 corn, we're probably missing the point that the last 5 or 6 years of belt tightening did to us, And so I guess my personal opinion is selling a little bit of corn is okay. Do I think corn is going to be really good property moving forward? Yeah, absolutely. And part of the reason I say that is recently, you've seen basis weaken a little bit. Why? Because January contracts were showing up. Some folks saw $5 corn and decided to sell it. I mean, it makes sense. Why not? So more corn moved in the last 3 or 4 weeks than we'd seen in some time, which is typical for the month of January. But basis in my part of the world widened out anywhere from a dime to 15 cents. You know what? You look at the March bid, though, and the March bid is still a dime to 15 cents higher than what the current bid is. As far as basis is concerned, what's that telling you? some of these buyers are concerned. Once this early onslaught of bushels shows up to the market, they're going to have a hard time maybe getting a hold of some of this corn. And so I do think that the market's trying to tell you that, at least from the perspective of basis. I see the market not having any carry, but you know what? We're only at a 5 cent inverse out to July, and I think there's shows there's still going to be a significant amount of interest. And I think that the market could be quite interesting whenever you get in that summer time frame. I don't want to hold a lot of bushels till summer. You know, you can transfer some of it over to paper ownership if you want, but I do think that those who wait are going to have the potential to not only see good prices on the board and basis that could be very impressive.
I think another thing we should talk about, Matt, production concerns remain in South America. You know, I think heading into the weekend, we thought they were going to see more rain than they did. I think the market anticipated that, it sounded like, from other folks I talked to, and we really didn't get that rain. And now there's maybe some fears about delayed planting for that Safrina corn crop coming up here. What are you seeing out of South America that's influencing our markets here today?
Yeah, I mean, same things that you're hearing. I think that, you know, Brazil, for the most part, has gotten enough rain to get them by on that first crop. They're going to have good yields, not great. I'm hearing from some producers around Mato Grosso that are saying their bean yields maybe aren't quite as good as what they're hoping. And so you're hearing that quite a bit. I think it's certainly played into the market. As far as Argentina is concerned, though, you know, some of their ratings on their crops just aren't very good. You know, I think Cordonier still maybe has the corn crop around 44.5, 45, and that's below USDA, I believe. But bottom line is, it's not going to be a huge Argentina corn crop this year. They're a big, big exporter of corn on the world market. I think as far as soybeans are concerned, maybe they're going to catch some of these late rains they've caught are going to be able to help them maybe a little bit more than what they thought 3-4 weeks ago. But there's a lot to be said about this Safrina crop going in the ground a little later than normal. You know, they're usually about 10% planted right now. Right now, they're 1% planted. Some of the producers are saying they're not too concerned about it just yet. But we all know that there's a lot of areas of South America that have a moisture deficit going into the Safrina crop there in Brazil. And if you have a bit of a deficit going in, you've got to be concerned, because typically they have a drier season in that second crop than what they do the first crop. And that's because the dry season starts, you know, towards the end of that second crop. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out. But if you have any weather issues whatsoever out of South America, I think that you're going to see a price situation that's going to be highly reactive to any sort of weather issues that we have moving forward as far as South America is concerned.
One more note on soybeans, you know, Matt, talking, and it sounds like your optimism, I think, shared by a lot of folks with corn, that we could be really set up really nicely here. Beans, you know, we don't have a lot of old crop beans left. We're looking more at the new crop side. And for the most part, you know, these price levels still fairly good. But I'm wondering, you know, we talk about that carry out possibly getting smaller yet. We're still waiting to see how that shakes out here. I think a lot of producers, I mean, you know, they were wondering, will we go to $15 beans? Do you think that's still possibly on the table, or do you think we're going to kind of find our home here around this 14 mark?
I think it's still on the table, potentially. You know, how much conviction I want to speak with, I don't know. Whenever you're up in these levels, it's pretty hard to gauge. But, you know, one thing's for sure, you're at a 3.1% stocks to use ratio. And I think with both corn and beans, we're talking about beans right now, USDA is going to have to increase exports at some point. Yeah, maybe they don't do it in February, but if they don't, I think there's a lot of folks that are going to say, come on, you know, bring us the numbers, the real numbers. Let us digest them and see what happens. Because you know what, when you continue to see export sales and inspections on soybeans the way they've been, we don't have enough beans to continue inspections the way that we've been going. And so we're going to run out of beans, Jesse. I think next summer you'll be importing beans and bean meal onto the East Coast. I don't see any way around it. I think that you're almost going to have to, barring something unforeseen. And so in the situation we're in, we're going to be running, in my opinion, a true number is probably closer to below 100. As far as carryouts concerned. Now, how's that impact new crop? You know, you were talking about a little bit about new crop. You know, if we're going to thumb our nose at 1150 November 21 beans, again, I think that we're missing the point. I'm not saying we won't go to 1250 or even 13 bucks. There's nobody really knows. But, you know, selling a portion of our bushels at a price level that for most producers that we look at would be making $200 to $300 an acre of net income to me, that's why turn your nose up at something like that. At least take some risk off the table. It's kind of like, you know, I think I've told you before, it's kind of like playing poker. You know, if we're going to sit here and play poker and I'm up on you big time, it might tick you off. I'm going to put some of that money in my pocket so you can't get it, right? And I think that's what we've got to do whenever it comes to the markets. We got to take some of that money and put it in our pocket and make sure that the market can't take it away from us. We don't know what the next black swan event is. Maybe we don't get one in 21. But if we do, we're sure going to be frustrated we didn't sell some 1150 beans.
On the wheat side of the equation, a good day there as well. I think maybe tagging along with a quart of beans to the high side here. But wheat, Russia formalized that export tax plan, and there's talk it might be a permanent part of its program going forward. Is that something that you saw that helped give a shot in the arm to this wheat market the last couple of days?
Yeah, I mean, I think you basically hit the nail on the head. The export tax is definitely something that you can't, you know, turn a blind eye to. It certainly played into the way that this wheat market reacted. But there's no doubt in my mind, with a little bit of positive news, if you look at your front month contracts on both corn and beans trading 20 cents or better to the upside, you know, you're going to get the wheat market to follow along, at least to an extent. So, you know, again, I take a look out here to July wheat pushing 650 again. And to me, I mean, those are just pretty good price levels. You look at December wheat, you know, 650 and a half. I mean, essentially, I think whenever we look at wheat, spring wheat might end up being a little more of a factor in what some people think if the weather cooperates. You know, I think that what the wheat market's trying to do, what the cotton market's trying to do, you know, Milo, you name it. I mean, there's going to be a lot of these crops in some of your fringe areas that are going to make a very strong case for acres. Which is going to make it hard to get into these exorbitant acreage predictions that some people might throw out there. So, you know, currently I'm probably around 91 and a half, 92 of both. I know some people are a little heavier on corn, but I'm not so sure that's going to happen given, you know, Iowa's going to play a lot of soybeans this year. But I think some of these other crops, once again, are going to make their case for as many acres they can get a hold of.
And that's a great point you mentioned there. Wheat, Milo, sorghum, cotton, you name it. Those markets have been impressive. And I think you're right. Some of those big numbers, I think I saw 94 million projected in corn from somewhere. I think that's a little too high, Matt. I'm more in line with you. I think 91 on both, just because we're going to see some of that competition out the countryside. And it's going to be a lot more fierce than I think people are expecting it to be.
Yeah, I think the only thing that could push you up above that 91, 92 level is if you can get a spring insurance price for both corn and beans, maybe a little bit better than what we've already seen. I think that when people saw that 460 for Dee's corn, they thought, holy smokes, we get a spring price of 460. That's obviously going to push some acreage, you know, and $12 for November 21 beans. I think if you get up to those levels and above, for your averages in the month of February, then you can probably start opening up that discussion. Hey, what are these guys going to do? You know, unless you would see spring wheat rally substantially, of course. But, you know, cotton at $80, you're not going to rob very many cotton acres whenever it's around $80. Some of these guys are going to be pushing those acres pretty hard.
Let's switch to livestock, Matt. And, you know, on Friday, we saw a huge run-up in cattle on the fat cattle side and the feeder cattle market, lean hogs as well, with that sharp drop in grains. Then we come back in yesterday after we got a, you know, somewhat bearish cattle on feed report, and we held fairly steady throughout all three complexes. And then today, you know, with the higher grain prices again, feeder cattle really just didn't like that. What did you see in this feeder cattle market? Anything that we can kind of maybe hang our hat on for some positivity moving forward?
Well, it's just really tough to rally feeder cattle when all your feed costs are going up. You know, it's just a tough row to hoe. And I think that it certainly is interesting to see and nice to see that the fat are able to hold together on a day like today. You know, because if a person can get feeders bought a little cheaper and you look out to your deferred contracts, I mean, you get out to decent, you're 124, you know, and I know we've talked about it before. I've been friendly for third and fourth quarter cattle for a while. You know, you look at placement levels where they're at, and it's pretty hard for me to get too down on this cattle market. But the exciting thing for me is, you know, a couple of these front months, you're above 120 as well. And I wouldn't have thought that was going to happen. And so the cattle market, the cattle complex, in my opinion, has got a lot. It's going to be leaning very heavily on the grains. What are the grains going to do? Because I wouldn't want to be a cattle feeder that, you know, had maybe bought feeders and not hedged my feed costs. And I know that sometimes a lot of folks try to take that gamble, and I certainly understand it. And it's probably worked for people throughout their careers for the most part. But this is not one of those years that that's going to work real well, especially, you know, if you get some weather issues in the U.S., I'd hate to think what new crop corn prices are going to do, you know, especially if you don't get 93 or 4 million acres. There's just not any wiggle room. And so as a cattle producer, I need to make sure I'm very business minded moving forward. And I pay very close attention to what my ratios are and what price levels I need to lock in, not only on the output side, but on the input side as well.
How much are you looking ahead to Friday's biannual cattle inventory report? I know we're expected to maybe see a smaller cow herd. That'd be bullish for cow-calf producers. How much stock are you putting into that report coming up on Friday?
Well, I think that if you get something that's out of what we're expecting, and certainly it could impact us, for the most part, you're right. I think, another thing, I almost forgot to say this, but last Friday, cattle margins had gone down from the board, whereas grain margins for corn and soybeans have gone up. And it's, in my opinion, it's no coincidence that you saw that big run up in cattle prices. But does it have a lot to do with an expectation that the cattle herd's going to be a little smaller? I think it does. So I think it's exciting for a cattle producer, because I think that you could see the ability maybe to freshen up your herd just a little bit, and maybe move some of those cool cows if this market ends up continuing to go the way it's going. Because I don't know that we'll get into a 2015 situation anytime soon, where we had $150 cattle. But, could we see $130, $135 cattle this year on the fats, especially in the third and fourth quarter? Yeah, I think it's a possibility. I certainly wouldn't rule it out at this point.
Looking over at hogs, Monday's cold storage report, frozen pork supply still at a 10-year low. It seems like there's maybe some opportunity in this hog sector. And, we're still holding that February contract above the 70 level and really just had some good continued strength in that hog market here today, despite the higher grain prices. What are your thoughts on that cold storage report and where this hog market's at?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually kind of surprising, I guess, to see hogs up the way that they were. Now, the cold storage report, yes, definitely friendly. I think a lot of folks, though, have really struggled with maybe getting excited about potential Chinese purchases of pork in the last several months, and then it'll come to pass maybe one week, and then the next week they don't show up, and I think a lot of folks have been very hesitant to buy hogs. I don't want to buy hogs at $87, whenever you get far out on added to your deferreds. But at the same time, $70 hogs seem to me like you could probably see those come up just a little bit more, until you see more supply hit the market. I think that it's probably a fair price. If anything, maybe it is just a little bit cheap. I certainly am not super friendly hogs above 70, though.
Well, and I think another thing we'll be watching, too, we've heard the reports of new African swine fever cases in China. Is that going to increase our pork demand? I think that's going to be a question, though, that's probably a few months out before we know an answer to that.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's a little more isolated out of China than what it was before. They don't seem to be making near as big a deal about it. But, anytime that we get news out of China, and I don't want to be crass here, but I take it with a grain of salt. I felt pretty strongly that last week whenever they were talking about some of these issues and, that they were going to be selling, some of the Chinese funds were selling grains, for instance. I said, well, if they're telling us that on Friday and the market's down, then we're going to be seeing purchases next week. What do we have? It's just something that they've done for years. They're very good at it. Best marketers in the world.
Well, Matt, any other final thoughts you have for us today? Again, a pretty solid day at the grain sector and not bad overall in the livestock markets. Any other final thoughts you have?
Yeah, I know that a lot of us in the industry are fairly friendly. These grains, corn and beans in particular, I think is what we all like to focus on. But don't lose sight of the fact that profit's on the table. You can make a sale and still be bullish. I think we forget that. And so as a producer, I definitely want to see people hedging off risk whenever they've got the opportunity to do so. Because don't forget what Friday felt like. That's the long and short of it. Friday didn't feel much fun. We had to think about that all weekend. Thank goodness the first 2 days of the week have been what they've been. But don't lose sight of what Friday felt like. And I think it'll help you in your marketing plan moving forward.
Well, if you want a little bit of help from Matt and the team at agmarket.net, you can reach out to them. It's that simple, agmarket.net. You can find their app in the App Store as well, and I know they got a lot of great information there. Matt Bennett with agmarket.net, I appreciate you joining me today, as always, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, bud.
Matt Bennett joining us today. AgMarket.net, you can find them and find information on how they can help you with your marketing plan. This has been the Tuesday, January 26th edition of Market Talk. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Have a great afternoon.